May you turn to the chapter of God's Word that we read together, in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy. And as the Lord would be pleased to help us, we would seek to consider the words that you will find in verse 16. We can read just now from verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. Here we have the Apostle Paul giving counsel to Timothy, his son in the faith. Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy, and he gives him a good counsel as to how he is to conduct himself in the ministry. And he wishes him grace, mercy, and peace. And you will notice that in Paul's epistles, at the beginning, when he wishes the salutation, when he gives his wishes to those to whom he is writing, he says, grace and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. But when he writes to Timothy and Titus, who were ministers of the gospel, he writes, grace, mercy, and peace. They need to know mercy. We're going to speak of grace and peace to others. We're going to speak of mercy. They need to know mercy for themselves. And he speaks there about the use of the law, the solemn declaration of God's wrath and curse against sin, against all sin. And he mentions some of the most dreadful sins there, and he shows how the law is to be used in connection with the gospel. It's to show lawless and disobedient, ungodly sinners, unholy and profane sinners, worldly sinners, their need of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the gospel. And then he comes on to speak about his own experience. And there are places where the Apostle Paul relates his own experience. You can think of the 7th chapter of Romans. You can think of the 3rd chapter and the 4th chapter of Philippians. And in 2 Corinthians also. And he speaks there about how the Lord dealt with him. And that's to encourage Timothy. It's to encourage the people of God. How the Lord has dealt with Paul is to encourage others to follow after. And that's what we have in our text. Now he says some wonderful things here. He says some very precious things about how the Lord dealt with him. And we would like to open up that as the Lord would be pleased to help us. Now he says here in our text that he is a pattern, a mold, in which the Lord is showing forth in that pattern how he deals with sinners. If Paul is a great sinner, as he came to realize, then great sinners are encouraged to seek mercy from the Lord in the same way that the Apostle Paul obtained it. And this is a very encouraging truth. This should be a very encouraging truth for great sinners, for sinners who feel their sins to be very great and who have need of a great Saviour. Here is a word of encouragement, friend. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. And we see here that God's longsuffering and patience is very great. It is very great. The Apostle Paul rejoices in that. Oh, what do you know of the long-suffering of the Lord tonight? We were speaking of Abraham, trying to say a few words about Abraham this morning. How Abraham was the father of the faithful, and how the Lord dealt with Abraham is a pattern also of how the Lord deals with his people in calling them out to be a people to himself. Well, here we have also another pattern, a mold in which the Lord is showing us how he deals with great sinners, that Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. We would like to consider this pattern then, as enabled for a few moments tonight. First of all, we would notice that here we have a pattern of mercy. A pattern of mercy. Secondly, we have a pattern of patience. God's patience with Paul. A pattern of patience. And thirdly, there is a pattern of hope. These things are to encourage us to obtain mercy. If a great sinner like Paul could obtain mercy, here is hope for great sinners in Dingwall tonight. A pattern of mercy, then a pattern of patience, and thirdly, a pattern of hope. Well, first of all, then, we have this pattern of mercy that Paul is speaking of. He himself is the pattern. How the Lord deals with him is the pattern. Paul is the product of the Lord's moulding him. And he does it in this way, first of all, that he shows him mercy. That's what he says in verse 13. He was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what is mercy? What is the mercy that Paul has taken up with here? How would you define mercy? How would you come to describe what mercy is? How would you know what mercy is if it came your way? Mercy is God's love to those who are miserable. It's the desire of a God of love to communicate his blessing to those who are in misery. That is what mercy is. It's God's love to those who are miserable. And it comes in the way of grace. God's grace is his love towards those who are undeserving. That's what grace is. And God's mercy is his love towards those who are in misery. And he delights to show mercy. That's what the prophet was saying of old, Micah chapter 7. Have you come to know the blessedness of these things for yourself, friend? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Mercy is what the Lord delights to show to poor sinners of mankind. Now, if you think of the source of mercy, then you will say that this mercy that Paul is speaking of, that Paul has experienced is very great mercy. What is the source of God's mercy? How are you to obtain it? It must come from heaven. It must come from the heart of a sovereign and merciful God. That is where mercy flows from. It flows from the everlasting God entering into a covenant whereby he would show mercy to sinners. It comes from the will and the purpose and the love of God from all eternity, that he would reveal his mercy in the glorious gospel. That is the source of mercy. Oh, we should have the highest views of divine mercy. What do you think of the divine mercy tonight, friend? It's not the mercy of a creature. It's not the mercy of one who loves you in the flesh and in the bonds of the flesh. But the mercy that you need and the mercy that will stand you for eternity is a mercy that comes from heaven and is an everlasting love of God revealed to those who are in misery on account of their sin. Now you see, the mercy of God is also very wonderful. When you consider those who are the objects of his mercy. If we deserved mercy, then it would not be mercy. Have you come to learn that? You're a poor, hell-deserving sinner on your way to eternity. And unless the Lord will have mercy upon you, you're going to perish in your sins forever. And do you cry to the Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Is that a reality, friend? Not just the form of these words, not just the familiarity of them, but the reality and the need. Do you cry out to the Lord, oh friend, do you cry, God, be merciful to a sinner, out of a felt sense of your absolute need of divine mercy to deliver you from sin, to deliver you from the power of Satan, to deliver you from the love of the world, to deliver you from a deceitful and desperately wicked heart, to deliver you from the love of the things that will destroy your soul? Do you cry to the Lord in sincerity, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Well, it will be a wonder to you if that is your case, that God would show mercy to sinners. When you think that angels who sinned will never taste of mercy. Angels who are greater in dignity and intelligence and more capable of glorifying God than you are as a sinner of mankind, that those creatures, God has no mercy for them. When you think of that, is it not astonishing mercy that any sinner of mankind would entertain a hope that God will show mercy to them and deliver them out of the lowest hell? When you think of the freeness of God's mercy, if God is going to deliver you from your destructions, if God will deliver you from hell by delivering you from sin, by relieving you out of the fearful consequences of sin, is it not astonishing mercy, friend, that it is absolutely free? If God withheld mercy from every man, woman, boy and girl, he would do us no injustice. God would not be unjust if he never showed mercy to a sinner. Do you believe that? Have you come to realize that? And if the Lord withheld any mercy from you, you would have no claim upon him. But when thou speakest, thou mayest be just and clear in judging still. Have you been stripped of every thought that you deserve something of God's mercy? That's a great matter. What do we read in the Epistle to the Romans? Based on words that you'll find in Exodus. When Israel had sinned the great sin with the golden calf, it says there, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that runneth, nor him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You cannot constrain this mercy. You cannot deserve this mercy. It must flow to you entirely freely in the covenant of grace. You cannot purchase it. Nothing you can do can merit the mercy of God. It is entirely free. It is free mercy. It is unconstrained. But there's not only a freeness in the exercise of the divine mercy towards sinners. There's a freshness in it. It's ever fresh. God's mercy cannot be exhausted. God's love can never change. And those who come to taste of the mercy of God in Christ, they're brought to realize more and more how wonderful this mercy is. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. There's nothing so wonderful as the mercy of God through the blood of Christ. And if you are conscious of your sin continually, then the mercy of God never fails. His mercy never fails, for mercy hath he ever. There's nothing sweeter. If you know anything of your own heart and the wickedness and the ungodliness and the deceitfulness and the vileness of your own heart, than to come to the fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness to obtain mercy of the Lord. There's nothing more wonderful and refreshing to a poor, weary, tried and tested believer who find that they have no strength and no help of man at all, to come to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the mercy of the Lord, it never ends. This is what the Lord's people in heaven will be praising the Lord for. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, to him be glory forever and ever. If you once get a taste of the divine mercy, friend, it will be wonderful to you beyond anything else in this world. But God had mercy on such a sinner. See, this is what Paul was seeing. This is what Paul was taken up with. He could not praise the Lord enough that he'd showed such mercy to him. Now mercy flows from the love of God in the everlasting covenant. And mercy has set up the Lord Jesus Christ as the great channel whereby mercy will flow to the soul. He is the mediator. We cannot obtain the divine mercy without it coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how the soul obtains mercy. It is through Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. These words are very similar, are they not, to that wonderful angelic intimation of the coming of Christ into the world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is the faithful saying. This can be relied upon. You can rely entirely upon this glorious Saviour. You can put the whole weight of your soul for eternity upon this. Perhaps you don't care to hear of these things, friend. Perhaps you're very indifferent about how it is put to you tonight. But the Lord's people love to hear about the mercy of God in Christ. And this is wonderful to them. And this is worthy of your acceptation, that you would put the whole weight of your soul for eternity upon this, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He took our nature. He took the nature that had sinned, yet he had no sin in himself. And he wrought out a perfect righteousness. He was obedient unto death. Oh, what do you think of the robe of the righteousness of Christ? Is it not the best robe? Does it not fit the sinner very well? Would it not suit your soul tonight, sinful soul that you are, to be robed in the Emmanuel's righteousness, to have the garments of the daughter of the King, all glorious, shot through with divine holiness and divine perfection? Is that not a glorious garment for you to wear, to cover the shame of your nakedness in the court of heaven? And here is something wonderful about the divine mercy revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, that not only has he obeyed the law, but he has satisfied the claims of divine justice by laying down his life a ransom for many, by submitting willingly and lovingly to the penalty of death. There is where the mercy of God flows. It's through the blood of Christ, through his precious blood, the blood of the Lamb, that you cannot obtain mercy. But until you close in with Christ, until you come to the blood of Christ and put your hope and confidence in that blood as a sinner. Now here is a wonderful thing. The mercy of God is obtained by sinners. He came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And you are warranted and welcome and invited to lay hold of that mercy for yourself. To lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is free and full in the offer of everlasting mercy. Are you a great sinner here tonight? Have you got scarlet sins? Have you got crimson sins? Are you concerned about your sins? Do you feel that you're not concerned enough about your sins? Do you feel that you do not weep for your sins as you ought to? That your heart is so hard and you're afraid you'll never obtain the mercy of the Lord? Ah, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is offered to you as a sinner, just as you are, in your guilt, in your filthiness, in your inability, in your hardness of heart, in your unbelief. He is able to save you. He is able to save the sinner to the uttermost, all who come unto God by him. This is worthy of your acceptation. Will you accept of Christ? Will you ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit, that you would accept him and you would receive him and you would rest upon him and you would follow him and you would rejoice in him all your days? Now Paul is rejoicing in this. That mercy that flows to sinners through Jesus Christ, that he has tasted it for himself. He has tasted it for himself. obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. Nothing more wonderful to the apostle than that. He obtained gifts. He obtained a place of eminence in the church. He obtained many things. But this is what he will boast of. God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Save in the forgiveness of sins, the mercy of God through that cross, through that blood. And have you tasted of his mercy for yourself, friend? Oh, taste and see that God is good, and to trust in him is blessed. The mercy of God is the sweetest thing that your soul will ever taste on this side of eternity. I obtained mercy. A personal experience of tasting of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about in verse 14. Grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That's how he obtained mercy. He believed in Christ. That's what was told to the man in Philippi on the brink of a lost eternity. The Philippian jailer, he's almost about to stretch forth his hand and fall into hell. And the wonderful invitation and command of the gospel reaches him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, what a work of divine mercy. What a work of sovereign grace and mercy took place in Philippi that night. And the divine mercy, dear friend, is not straitened. It's not any less tonight than it was on that memorable night in Philippi. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is not diminished. His arm is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Are you coming to an end of yourself? Are you coming to see that unless the Lord will have mercy upon you, it's nothing but the lake of fire? Do you really believe that? Well, here is glad tidings for you. Here is what you must accept. Here is where you must cast your anchor. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, in the second place, we have here not only a pattern of mercy, but we have a pattern of patience. Pattern of patience. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. Now, verse 15, he calls himself the chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he explains that earlier on in verse 13. He says he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He was a blasphemer. He hated the name of Christ. He couldn't abide to hear of Christ. He was a sworn enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, hailing men and women, casting them into prison, consenting to the death of Stephen. A persecutor of the church, venting forth the hatred that was in his heart against Christ and his people, and injurious. The word there really means outrageous. A man of outrageous violence and wickedness against Christ and his people. A great sinner by any account. greatly possessed of malevolence and wickedness against Christ, and yet he obtained mercy. Now this statement in verse 13, but because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, that's not a lessening of the sin of unbelief. It's not a lessening of the sin of ignorance. His unbelief and his ignorance was willing. It was culpable. But what Paul is saying is this: I didn't sin beyond the reach of divine mercy. And that's what makes the mercy so astonishing. He was in unbelief, and the Lord had mercy on him. These words, the chief of sinners, it's not just a subjective personal feeling. It's not just some kind of exaggeration to make the point. It's an objective reality. He really was, in a very certain sense, in terms of his persecution of the church, as wicked a man as walked the earth. That shows you the dreadful nature of persecuting God's people. It's one of the most fearful sins, to be against the people of God, because it's striking out against Christ. But even so, the mercy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the love of God, it was more abundant than that. Is this not a great example of how long-suffering and patient the Lord is with sinners, even the greatest of sinners? Account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. As we were singing, we're going to sing in Psalm 86, he is slow to anger, in mercy plenteous. These are very precious words. He is slow to anger, in mercy plenteous. The Lord in the gospel exercises great patience with sinners. Christ is stretching forth his hands all the day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people. He waits to be gracious. Therefore will I wait, that I may be gracious towards you. He hasn't cast you into hell, friend. He hasn't removed you from hearing the gospel. Your conscience, your understanding, you're able to take in it to a certain level and degree. If what the word of God is setting before you, you're responsible. You have reason. Young friends, you are responsible. The Lord is giving you opportunity. The Lord is giving you days of grace. He's giving you Sabbath days. He's giving you gospel means. Still you're in the prayers of the Lord's people. Still you're on mercy's ground. Have you had remarkable deliverances in providence? Have your loved ones had remarkable deliverances in providence? Can you say that even in that the Lord has shown remarkable patience toward you? Is he not long-suffering? If you come to taste of the mercy of God in Christ, then this is what Paul again says, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that where sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is a great encouragement to great sinners to seek a great Saviour. If the chief of sinners can obtain mercy, and if this is set forth for a pattern, then no one can say that my sins are too great to be pardoned. No one can say that I've sinned away the day of grace and the gospel of his grace. You cannot say that tonight, friend. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. We mustn't abuse God's patience, but we're to make use of the time that we have. If ye hear my voice, harden not your heart. Now the third thing here is we have a pattern of hope. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, but a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. Well, faith in Christ is of the utmost importance. He says it's a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him. To believe, to have faith, to trust the Lord. That's what is absolutely necessary if you are to close in with Christ in the terms of the gospel. Christ is held out to us each in the call and invitation of the word. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, what does your soul say to that? Is that not an encouragement? The very terms of the gospel, entirely adapted to your needs. Christ has everything you need. Here is a full and a free salvation. Here is the revelation of the divine mercy. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him mercies be. And are you saying tonight, is it true that the Lord has forgotten to be gracious? Fails his mercy evermore? What's the answer to that? To the disconsolate believer who is concerned that they haven't tasted God's mercy for many a long, weary day. What's the scriptural answer? What's the antidote to that plague? Is it not this? Still hope in God, for him to trust, for him to praise, good cause I yet shall have. Yea, of my countenance is the health, my God that doth me save. There's no reason in the gospel for any sinner out of hell to despair of obtaining mercy. No reason for you to despair of obtaining mercy, dear fellow sinner. Oh, the dying thief, was he not like the jailer in Philippi? On the very brink of the blackness of darkness forever, but he obtained mercy. And therefore can you not hope that you will obtain mercy also? You would not draw back unto perdition, but that you would believe unto the saving of the soul. Them which should hereafter believe on him. What's going to happen to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It says here in our text, life everlasting. They begin to believe in his mercy. They keep on believing in his mercy. And as they leave this world and enter eternity, they're trusting in his mercy. And what happens? They are brought to life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's blessing, life that shall never end. All you who do seek the Lord, your heart shall ever live. It's eternal life, is to be with Christ, which is far better, is to be in the mansions that Christ has purchased in his precious blood, that Christ has claimed for every sinner who puts their trust in him, is to be in the place where he will wipe away all their tears and lead them by fountains of living waters. That's the great end. That's the great end of the faith and the hope of God's people. To believe in him to life everlasting. It's either life or death. It's either heaven or hell. And what will it be for you and for me? That's the great question. We set life and death before you, young and old. Therefore, choose life. May the Lord bless his word to us. Call upon his name.